Hello everybody, this is Cheesy, also known as Cheesy Dino. That song was Changed by Deftones from their album In the House of Flies. I felt that was a particularly good song to play for our very first Changing Times podcast. Speaking of very first podcast, I have here two very special individuals. Starting off, I have Mr. K Libra. That is K-L-I-B-R-A. You can find his art both on furaffinity.net as well as deviantart.com. More information on that later on after the session. But I would like to speak here about our other podcaster, Mr. Hexen. He is a self-proclaimed transformation novelist. His works is also found on furaffinity.net. And again, more information about that later on after the podcast session. Very, very, very appreciative of what these two have to offer here tonight. I think their time and their effort for the sake of the transformation community. Again, as I've told people before, this podcast is not for my benefit, but for the benefit of the transformation community in general. My whole goal, my aim, my kind of aim for this is to gather the transformation community, bring it more into a close bond, just kind of talk about what kind of ideas, opinions, and what both artists as well as writers and contributors in general have to say about transformation, what kind of things have benefited from the transformation community, as well as what kind of shortcomings we can improve on. So very, very honored to have these two here to talk about their experience as well as speak their mind and opinion on what we have here to discuss tonight. So I thank you for your time for listening in on this session here tonight. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the sound of my voice. I know it could sound a little nasally. I'm sorry. It was particularly fairly late. I believe it was around 1 a.m. in the morning when we took off on this podcast. That was mainly due to the fact of differing time zones. Hexen does live in South America, so his timing's a good bit of ways far ahead of what we have here in North America. So, of course, we had to manage to have us all meet on a good time for all three of us. So I'm very thankful that we were able to do so, and that we were able to do so efficiently and smoothly. Another thing I'd like to apologize is it is quite a bit long. I know it is about maybe 2 hours. We did go over time as to what we initially had wanted to do. It was supposed to be about an hour, probably about 1 hour and 30 minutes max, but of course we went a little bit over. That's probably due to the fact that we got a little bit too much into it, that we got a little deep into what we were trying to discuss, which is good, but of course we wouldn't want to bore you or take too much of your time here. But of course, if we don't bore you, which is great, but we do want you to not feel dragged out in any shape or form here. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down the session into 3 parts just so we can give you time to drink water and kind of indulge what you've listened to after each session here. So again, I really appreciate everybody for chipping in your time to listen. And again, this is a community effort. Nothing on my part to gain no money from this whatsoever. Neither does anybody who is involved with this podcast. It is more on trying to bring the community together and to discuss what we think about the community, as well as what our personal opinions and perspectives on transformation are in general. So again, thank you for your time, and I do hope you enjoy our first episode. I do have many more planned to come, and more on that after the session when I meet back with you to kind of give a little afterthought summary report when the episode is over. So with nothing further to do, this is Cheesy. Thank you for your time, and this is the Changing Times episode 1. Thank you. All right, so I have here Mr. Hexen, fairly devoted self-writer from Verfinity, also recognized on the Process forums. Thank you so much, Mr. Hexen, for joining us tonight.
Even at as well.
All right, and I also have another compadre here, Mr. Libra, fairly long, I guess you could say, year. Acquaintances, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, so far.
Is a fairly quick rising artist. You can find his works on Furfinity as well as DeviantArt. We can go into more details about that later on tonight. And I'd like to thank you as well, Mr. Liba, for joining us tonight.
It's fun. It's my pleasure.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with a little bit about yourselves here, gentlemen. Who would want to start first?
Go, Hexen. Oh, you're the first one to laugh.
Okay, then.
All right. So let's start simple here. Go ahead and just kind of talk a little bit about yourself. Kind of just talk about how did you get into the whole transformation type deal?
Well, okay. Let's start from the beginning, really. Well, as long as I remember, really, I have had this thing with transformation. When I was really young, I used to the thought of becoming something else always fascinated me. But really, as a fetish, I mean, it only starts really to come to mind as a fetish only on my late teens, really.
Okay, so did it come from like a TV show or a storybook? Video games.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think I had to explain much.
That's cool. What video game in particular?
A lot of them, really. It started mainly during the PS2 era when I had a ton of games, and I never got to finish most of them, but I used to love the character designs, and I used to love thinking about them transforming and stuff.
Okay.
And doing things.
Very nice.
So, pretty much.
Was there, like, a favorite character that kind of stood out to you the most that you could remember?
If you haven't guessed already, well, pretty much the main female lead from Final Fantasy X.
Oh, okay.
As you
Yuna.
Can guess.
Yes.
Yep, Yuna.
Oh, yeah, I think
Bridge Summoner.
Yeah, she is a fairly popular one. I can remember Solid Asp did a couple pieces about her.
Yeah, she was pretty much the first one. I had a dream about her turning to a werewolf one day, and I thought, man, I wish I could find that on somewhere.
Really?
And then I went into the internet and, well, you know what comes next.
So I guess you could say that was kind of a revelation there for you. All right. So, okay, let's go ahead and move on to you, Mr. Libra. Pretty much the same deal. How'd you get into this and how does it... pretty much has it fancy how you got into this whole ordeal.
It's a fuzzy memory. I just remember being really young. There was some kind of movie that was on someplace. Somebody was turning into something. The scene was dark and the you know, when the and the whole hue of the thing was blue, and I don't know, it just stuck with me. I don't remember which movie it was.
With a werewolf documentary.
Right.
I used to be afraid to stare at the full moon for long in my childhood.
That's funny and it's almost cute. But but what happened
was
I
was 10 years old.
Everybody was silly at 10 years old, hopefully. But what happened was is that I saw that and it just kind of stuck with me. Before I knew it, whenever I was looking at media, if I noticed that somebody was changing into something, I found that to be the thing that I wanted to see. Like, I remember, like, sometime after, I remember seeing the commercials to Stargate, and though it's, you couldn't really consider it the same thing, see that Pharaoh's mask, like, just, like, converts into a, you know, into some kind of, like, you know, headgear and stuff like that. I was like, oh, maybe there's more of that in the movie. Of course, I never bothered to watch Stargate, but I did watch Species.
Oh, yes.
And I enjoyed, and I enjoyed that, and I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome and everything, and yeah, it's mostly kind of horrific because that's, you know, the whole point of the movie, but I still thought it was great. And funny point to that, I remember being at my babysitter's, well, yeah, because I had somebody needed to watch me after school or whatever, and she would just let that movie play. Her kids were not much older than me. Wow. Even though I already saw it, I actually asked her, is it okay for her to watch this? And as far as, you know, so things like that. And as far as when it started, as far as any kind of sexual fascination, let's just count puberty, okay?
Right.
Yep.
And, and Parasite Eve.
Okay.
Ooh, man, I was afraid of that game.
Oh, man, it intimidated me. So I, you know, and some might find this shameful, but since I was so intimidated and my friends left me their PlayStation for like a week while they went away, which was awesome of them, right. They also had Parasite Eve and they had the guide. I just played the game with the guide. It was still hard, by the way.
I'm sure.
And, but, you know,
I have to say, though, what scared me on Parasite Eve was pretty much that opening cutscene with the people burning on the theater.
Right, I remember that.
Because I was pretty much afraid of that thing alone. I wasn't afraid of the transformations, really, the gory, realistic stuff, I mean.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't afraid of that. I loved that.
Right.
Oh, I loved
In fact, time. I loved the gameplay of the game, but that freaking cutscene on the beginning used to freak me out.
People just falling all over the opera house on fire, but that was so cool because I'm like, oh man, look at that
when
shit!
I was young,
Everybody's
dude,
running and dying.
When I was young, dude, I used to fantasize about that stuff all the time, but. A few years ago, I came back to playing those old PS1 games, and I was kind of let down, really.
I was like, you know,
I understand. I was afraid of that. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, they were working within their limitations. But anyway, that one caught on, and especially the one of the first scenes in the second Parasite Eve.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, you all. The one that everyone makes fun of at the end because of the horse sound they use. But I was like, oh, yeah, that, you know, that works for me. So, yeah, that, among other things, I don't need to get into a list. But there's a decent gist of that.
Okay. So a little bit on the topic of fear here. A lot of transformation kind of fandom people kind of pull their roots from, like, the older horror movies, like, you know, the Wolfman and all that. Was there any point before you started becoming fascinated by all this that it kind of did put a little spook into you? I guess we'll go ahead and turn to you, Hexen, here.
It's a funny story. Most of the movies you guys are talking about, they came around to Brazil, but they received new titles. I mean, they were localized. So most of the references you guys have are not the same references I have.
I see.
And I
fun.
wasn't big into horror really until much later on my teens. But well, pretty much what stuck to me was were cartoons, mainly, well, Disney stuff, and I guess.
All right, good enough. So, Mr. Libra, what is your little opinion on that little bit?
Well, as far as anything that would have scared me about it, no, it has never scared me. The one thing that I remember scaring me in movies, you know, quite literally anything that killed anything else, but watching it never freaked me out as far as I can remember. I'm really trying to think about that. I think the freakiest one I saw from like way long ago, and I was really happy to find the scene again just so I could, you know, realize that I wasn't insane for remembering something that I for a while didn't think existed, was that movie Doppelganger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, who was it? Drew Barrymore or something? I'm no good with celebrities.
I cannot remember for the sake of...
But anyway, that would probably be like one of the freakiest. Wait a minute. No. No, 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 no. That is not the earliest one that I could think of that was freaky that didn't bug me out. And no pun intended, it was The Fly.
Oh, yes.
The Fly. I saw that movie and I saw what was happening to him and I was just like, oh, yeah, keep going.
I remember that one. Dude, I freaked out about the trailer of that thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I
can imagine.
I never watched those things, but I used to get really freaked out about the stuff.
Really? Okay.
Mostly because I really was curious about it, but I really thought, man, if that thing is 18 rated, I don't think I should be seeing that.
I did not care. I didn't care because, well, I remember I also was taken to the movies to watch Casino. If you haven't seen that movie, holy shit. I was like 9 or something, and my mom was there, but I was like, wow, I'm watching this, and I had this really... By the way, real quick, I just remember one part in the movie where it just, oh my God, Joe Pesci went into like, you know, a string of curses that made me blow out laughing in the theater. And I'm like, oh, look at all the swearing he's doing. But anyway, yeah, The Fly was like one of the earliest ones that I
can
remember.
Oh yeah, funny fact. One thing real quick. Funny fact about Brazilians and the difference, and the cultural differences. Really, English swearing is mild compared to what we do around here.
I'm not surprised because
it's
not Brazilian.
It's sexual joking. It's everything. It's
I'm sure.
Man, it's
listen, man. Me cago en tu madre is enough. Is enough of a hint. Okay. If you know what that means,
I don't even know if I want to get into what that.
Oh, I know Spanish, but it's not my main language actually.
Quite literally, it just means I shit on your mother.
Yep. Yeah, I know that one.
Me cago en tu madre, and it can be used as like a kind of a way of saying damn it.
Yep. They just as well.
Blurt it out. But yeah, anyway, I need to finish the point before I lose it. The Fly was supposed to be The Fly was supposed to be really scary. Guy's teeth with his nails were falling out, and right. It was just like the most curious thing I've ever seen because it just made so much sense. I'm like, if he's becoming this is why that's happening and blah blah blah. And you know, I just thought it was really cool. It just did not scare me.
I
can't really say why, other than it just was like really fascinating and cool to see, and I wanted to see more and more.
All right, that's pretty interesting of that. And so transitioning from that, pretty much with these kind of ideas in your minds here, did this kind of segue into how you became fascinated with the whole transformation ordeal? That kind of push your creative juices here into kind of doing your own thing?
No, it didn't. My whole thing into actually getting into actually drawing this stuff was seeing that other people did. And, you know, and it was kind of funny. Because a lot of the art I saw, I'm like, man, this would have been good if blank. if this, if that, if whatever, you know. And although there are some really great artists, you know, the ones that I favor the most, they do a lot of things I want to see, of course. That's one of the reasons I like them. There was always, you know, there were always ways that I would have rather seen or done things. So really, it's, you know, I would have to give credit to everybody else, whether I really enjoyed their work or not, for motivating me into saying, you know, I want to see this all the way only I think it would happen. And, yeah, because, you know, I think looking back, I see a lot of influences, you know, when I think retroactively about, you know, why is it that I do hands changing this way? Or, you know, why do I enjoy these kind of situations or this sort of tone? I look back and I'm like, oh, shit, I used to really love this movie or that episode of this or that situation. But it was weird. It's kind of like retroactive inspiration or influence, I guess you could say.
Okay, cool. So what about you, Mr. Hex? And what does this all mean to you as far as creating a story or kind of a premise for what you're gonna do?
Well, first of all, my stuff was it pretty much started as a guilty pleasure, because really my writing started at a really young age. But I didn't really start writing the transformation stuff I do today, because mostly I just love to write stories. I love to do them. But then, I guess, I started reading, because really, it might sound a little weird, but English is a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine as well.
I see. Because,
well, no one around me really speaks English natively, so it kind of made me feel important, like, yeah, I know English, you
Listen,
guys.
Man, you are no weirder. You're no weirder than the kids around here who would love to learn Japanese and go to Japan and be Japanese.
Oh, I lived through that phase. I kind of got burned out of it.
But hey, you were like one of the few people that can say that. I mean, I remember one person who was pretty much like I don't know. She had this thing against English or people that would. I don't know. I don't need to get into that. But the point is, that's cool of you.
Yep. So but yeah, pretty much started as a guilty pleasure, and then I started reading transformation stories. At first, I don't really remember many authors. I went to a lot of places, dude. Writing.com, Doc's Lab. I forgot.
Right.
And really, I started thinking, man, I could do something about that. But what what could I do that no one else is doing right now?
Right.
And then I started thinking, well, no one really uses established characters to make stories. They always try to create something original. And I think, man, what if people like video game characters transforming into other stuff? And then I started doing it.
Right.
It was really good.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot of people have become fascinated to how you kind of put a twist on original characters and just kind of make your own little world with them. So kind of in with that, how do you kind of approach a story with these kind of things? Do you kind of fantasize it as more of a sexual experience, or is it kind of like you want to put a plot in there, you kind of want to make it sense before you kind of get to the more pleasurable aspects of the whole story?
Well, that depends. My stories are divided pretty much in two categories. I have the stories I plan. Those are the really plot deep stories that I come up with. Stuff like, for example, that maze series. Because I don't get a character on that series if I hadn't played that game. And I don't know the character. I don't feel the character. And how that character would interact with that situation. And there are those stories that I write pretty much on impulse. I'm on the zone and I simply black out. And when I wake up, man, there's a story there. And I had to correct a bunch of grammar mistakes and stuff.
Yeah, right. That's just like the best thing to do, though. I forgot what author said it now. Something about it's something like, you know, you write drunk and you edit sober.
Yep.
Which is, you know, which
pretty
is
much
a good...
why I drink, dude.
Yeah. Always, yeah. Drinking always makes things better, doesn't it?
Well, it's just, well,
it actually
it's really
makes
just
the
ideas sentiment.
Flow. It's actually a pretty good quote, because really drinking takes off the thing that little I don't know, the little barrier, yeah, that stops you from doing stupid stuff. And pretty much the stupid stuff that I do is writing, so.
Right.
When I write stupid stuff, I'm really, I don't know, it's releasing sometimes. So, but yeah. I don't really post half of the stuff I write.
So I'm sure you do a lot of drunk karaokeing on your spare time then, right?
Nah, I'm not. Well, I'm actually a really good singer, but I don't know, not.
Oh my god, nobody can say that positively. Go you too.
All right.
Dude, YouTube, I've seen some shit there. I don't really like it.
Really?
As far as media goes, I don't really like the way it's growing.
I see. Okay. So, all right, let's go ahead and switch over to you, Mr. Libra. Kind of the same thing. How do you approach your piece? What do you kind of visualize before you kind of really just dive in and start inking and put the color and just... bring a fantasy into reality here.
Okay, I'm going to admit that a lot of the times whenever I've done something, I've had no solid idea. You could liken it to saying, oh, you know, you take the lump of clay and you mold it, but usually they have an idea. Usually, and I'm kind of glad that I read this out of this Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell compilation art book that I have, the interview, he says pretty much that when you paint, you're kind of like, you're kind of doing like a balancing act, I guess you could say. You got to let the canvas do what it wants and then rear it back at certain points so you don't lose control. And that's kind of how I feel a lot of the time.
It's a really poetic way to put it, really.
Well, it came from him, so don't give me much credit. but I was like, you know, that is kind of how it feels, because I'll go with a general idea, but like I want something with, say, I want an arching back. Okay, do I want to do the, which perspective? Let's try from the head down. Top down? No. Fuck it. Let's go from the side. Side's not working. It's looking a little more like it's going three quarters view. And it just kind of goes like that. Eventually, I lock onto something and I say, yeah, that works. Usually, I start off with like a tone or emotion, I guess. And I want to say, you know, how can I express this, you know, vividly? So I start with that, like I don't know. Let me look over. Like obviously, I have a lot of those. Have a lot of the whole sexually based stuff, and that's mostly because, by the way, I feel like a lot of people fell short, even when they were trying. I'm like, no, this could, you know, have a different intensity. So I tend to gravitate towards that to try and, you know, bring that. Some
so
sort of life,
afraid, basically.
Yeah. Going into something like color.
Okay.
Let me tell you something about color. I could say whatever I want, and you know, and depreciate it, but without being very self-depreciating or cruel to myself, I often don't know what I'm going to do in terms of color until I get to the very end. Often,
right.
You know, that is why it can seem pretty fucking random at times. I'm just trying to figure out what looks good or what clicks. But I do have my moments where I know what I want to do, although it's not transformation based. The thing that I uploaded last time, I had clear intent. I was inspired and I rolled with it and I did the best I could. And I was like, you know what? That's fine right there. So really, it just comes and goes depending, but usually I start with a very vague idea or a tone. Which, by the way, sorry, before I do conclude my little point on this, that's another reason I take requests sometimes, because I like to work off of somebody else's cues and see how I can make it into something I would like sometimes. I don't know.
Okay.
So you take commissions. You are a freaking champion.
He does take quite a bit.
I'm just doing my best.
So, with that in mind, then, with the going from the inking to sort of the coloring process, with what you're saying that you wait until you see the final product as far as setting things in line, is it kind of the same thing what you're saying that you need to find the mood and the emotion of the piece to kind of figure out what kind of color kind of just sticks with what you got there?
Yeah, that's that's usually what ends up happening. And you know, the funny thing is that sometimes I'm drawing whatever, and I attach a story to it. You know, it's usually the other way around. I work backwards. I would say, oh, what could be happening, or why this could be happening? Oh, you know, I guess it could be this. You know, again, it's not always the case, but it often is. Like, here's a good example. There was that little comic strip that I just that I doodled up, and it had this girl in class just changing her hand into different things. Really, that was just born from the fact that, you know, I was doing this hand practice. It was such a huge pain in the ass. My roommate tells me, you know, why don't you do something fun with that, you know, and you could break out since you worked hard and stuff like that. I was like, okay. And, you know, just kind of worked with that. You know, changing hands, maybe it could connect into something, and, you know, worked with that. Oh, she also gave me the idea. But it was fun to work with, and then I was thinking to myself, she's bored, and, you know, all that stuff. Another decent example, I guess you could say, and I'm just trying to think of it. Oh, yeah. Like, there was this one thing, Woman into a Thunderbird. I was like, okay, what should I do? I thought swirling wind and magic and shit was fine.